Jacob 1:26 says, "And if anyone thinks that he ministers to Elohim and does not restrain his tongue, he deceives his own heart and his service is in vain." And I think somewhere down the line, I don't know how soon, but somewhere down the line I'll probably give a whole message. I've given them before, but there's messages, pride, faith, you give every now and then. I think it's good to give one on speech and tongue and whatnot. Today I'm not really going to get into that end of it. But just for the fact when we're looking at ourselves as the sanctuary of Yahweh, and if anyone thinks that he ministers to Elohim and does not restrain his tongue, he deceives his own heart and his service is in vain. That we've talked about this, the importance of our words, and the importance of our words, especially with the Holy Spirit being within us. Proverbs 21 in verse 23 says, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from distresses." Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from distresses. We know the other scripture that says, "Where many words are, sin is not absent." So, again, like I said, in a general sense, we know the importance of words. And especially in the world we live in today, I think it's even more important because beside just written words, like in the Bible, it was everything that was said. Today we have many, many avenues even for words to go across. You know, we could write emails, we could talk on telephones. There's many, many ways of getting words across. But I just really want to focus on one point with words called euphemisms. I don't know if anybody knows what that word means, but I'll tell you if you don't. A euphemism is an exchange of a word or a term for a less offensive word. So, we all use them, you know, and not every euphemism is bad. When we say that, you know, "I'm going to go to the toilet," you know, "I'm going to go to the bathroom," let's say, is even better. That's not really what we mean, you know. We're not going in to take a bath, you know. But it sounds better. Everybody knows what we're going to do when we're going into the bathroom. But it sounds better to say we're going into the bathroom than to say, you know, graphically what we're going to say. So not every euphemism is bad. And they're there in society, like I say, because it's an exchange of word for a term that is less offensive. But there are euphemisms in speech that I want to talk about that maybe some people aren't even aware of, but really actually even border on or could be going against commandments. And sometimes these are filler words. Sometimes they're words that just come out. Sometimes they're words we could have learned from youth. But one of them is like when someone says, "good grief." That's a euphemism. I don't know if you know it. And good grief, you probably heard that before. Like, so-and-so fell off the ladder. Good grief. But good grief is actually a euphemism for good God. That's the euphemism. If somebody says golly or gosh, again, it's a euphemism for God. Oh my goodness is a euphemism for oh my God. Gee whiz, or just whiz, is a euphemism for Jesus. When someone says gee whiz. Jeepers, another euphemism for Jesus. By Jove is a euphemism for Jehovah. That's where it comes from. Other ones that we may have heard, or when someone says, "ah, darn it." Darn it is a euphemism for damn it. You know, we know we're not to be damning anything. Doggone, gosh darn. These are all euphemisms for G-O-D-D-A-N. That's exactly what we're saying. So even though we may be saying it on a little less offensive term, that's exactly what we're saying. That's exactly what the word means. Heck, if someone says, "oh, heck," it means hell. You know, and again, not what we shouldn't use. And of course, if someone says, "ah, shoot," or "shucks," it is a euphemism for SH, fill in the rest of that curse word. So, again, there's probably more. These are just some that I looked up that are in general. And that's why I wanted to tape this, because I know, especially in Western society, these are normal words. You know, they're just normal parts. Sometimes, like I said, they're filler words. Sometimes not. But when you're thinking of what the meaning really means, Exodus 20 and verse 7 tells us, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain." So again, we know that this is not Yahweh's name. which might even make it worse, you know, that we're calling on the name of a pagan deity, G-O-D, if we're using these words. But for people out there that don't use the sacred name, it's even worse, or at least equally worse, if they're using what they're calling the deity for that name. Exodus 23:13 says, "And be watchful in all that I said to do. You shall not call upon another Elohim by name. It shall not be heard from your mouth." So certainly the fact, whether you believe it's okay to call the creator G-O-D, who is the Babylonian deity, or you believe like we do that it's not, it doesn't make a difference. Using these euphemisms in either case would be improper and against the two commandments that I just mentioned here, bringing Yahweh's name to nothing and also calling the name of another pagan deity from it. Another thing that I figured, as long as I'm on the subject, it's not exactly with euphemisms, but things when you're talking about speech and certain things, we've talked a little bit before, nursery rhymes. You know, nursery rhymes. And there's a lot of times, and I don't know if this ever happened to you, but, you know, when you become a believer, you usually change almost everything. It's not just changing the day you're meeting on and this and that, but you change a lot of things. You change your whole lifestyle. And maybe like 20 years later, you hear a song that you might have liked from 20 or 30 years ago. You know I used to like the, who were they called? Simon and Garfunkel. I used to like their music. But yet, if you listen to a song, like if you hear it on the radio or you're with someone and they're playing and you haven't heard that song in 20 years, and now it's not just a na-na-na-na-na-na-na, the nice music, but you're actually hearing the words, you're like, wow, how did I ever like that? You know, these words really are nothing that is edifying to Yahweh or anybody, actually. You know, sometimes it's about drugs or a bad relationship or even worse or whatever. And it's the same a lot of times with the nursery rhymes. You know, have you ever thought of Rock-a-bye Baby on the treetop? When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. You know, when the bough breaks, the cradle will fall and down will come baby, cradle and all. It's talking about a baby in a tree that's breaking and the baby's coming down and maybe dying. Why on earth would that be something that we're going to lullaby our baby to sleep? But again, it's just something wherever it comes up from. Of course, some nursery rhymes do come from cultism and paganism. Others are just somebody who came up with a good theme. One, Ring Around the Rosies. Ring Around the Rosies, Pocket Full of Posies, Ashes, Ashes, We'll Come Down. You know where that comes from? That comes from bubonic plague, everyone dying and burning the bodies up. You know, so a lot of times, even though logically they don't make sense, in this world almost nothing makes sense, you know. So it is something we should think about. You know, I know that even, I don't even know who gave it to us, but somebody had given us a CD of, I think it was 50 nursery rhymes or something. And not to say every one would be bad, but a lot of them do have inferences to them too. Mary Had a Little Lamb is an inference of Yeshua with Mother Mary, you know, that comes from some of these things. So, you know, definitely something we want to think about when we're thinking of euphemisms in replacing and things like that. We do know from Matthew 12, verse 36, "But I say to you that every vain word, whatever men may speak, they will give an account of it in judgment day." Vain word or idle word. "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So again, I would definitely think that euphemisms and some of these things are definitely vain words or idle words, because they really don't have a meaning that comes to it. Timothy 2, verse 6 through 8. Timothy 2, verse 6 through 8 says, "Likewise, exhort the children to be modest, holding forth yourself as a pattern of good works about all things in doctrine, in purity, sensibleness, in corruption. Choose sound words that are instructive, so that no man can point the finger of scorn at us, that he of opposition may be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about you." So again, impurity and sensibleness. And one thing that really got me started on this years ago was when my first trip to Africa, where coming from Western society, and I know it wasn't like this in America going 100 years ago. 100 years ago in America was probably very similar to what it is now in certain third world countries of the world. Because I know, like my dad, you know, when he was 9 years old, he was out working. You know, and my grandmother had 15 children. Most of them had to quit school because they had to go work. There wasn't this thing where, you know, children just got all these toys and played and just did all these other things. They had chores. They were taught responsibility. And I saw that when we went to Africa. I saw that the children, right after they were weaned, 4 or 5 years old, you know, they were carrying wood and they were helping and they were farming and whatever had to do. And not to say that children shouldn't have fun. Everybody should have fun. Yeshua came to give life and give it more abundantly. But I think we would all agree, in the kind of society we have in Western society, it's become more than that. You know, birthday parties. We talked about birthdays being pagan. And where they've gone just in the last couple of years, that they'll have a birthday party that is $10,000 and $20,000. As much as you would think you would spend for a wedding. Weddings now can go $50,000, $100,000 or more. And there'll be these theme parties where everybody dresses up like a princess, everybody dresses up like Batman, and it's just everyone trying to outdo the next one. And I would think certainly as believers, it's not something that we want to be involved in, trying to outdo Satan's system with some of these worldly things and worldly action figures and all these other things that come from it. 2 Timothy 2:16. Says, but shun profane empty babblings, for they will go on to more and more unrighteousness. But shun profane empty babblings, and of course it's not just euphemisms. Many times, which you could find out is if there's not a conversation going on, sometimes conversation can just start and it can get sillier to more silly as time goes on. But that's why we really want to make sure our focus is on whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, or giving praise to Yahweh, you know, always helping each other, serving each other, helping to uplift each other, not like Paul said in one of his letters, not with witty insults or that kind of thing, but having our conversation pure. Also, if we go to Ephesians 4 in verse 29, Ephesians 4 in verse 29 says, let not any evil go out from your mouth, but words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. So, like he says, words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing of those that hear. Because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because one of the differences, you know, we talked about there's billions of people out here in the world, and many of them believe in the Bible, they believe in Yeshua, maybe they don't know his name. But what? Why then? Why are there so many different religions? Why are there so many different ways of looking at it? And I believe, although, like it says, many are called, few are chosen, that you would have to come to the conclusion that the majority of these people that claim they believe in the Bible or claim they believe in the blood of Yeshua, they couldn't have the Holy Spirit. Because again, you'll know them by their fruits, and there'll be evidence of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit comes with the fruits of the Spirit. And if they're not exhibited, then what would make somebody believe that they had the Holy Spirit without those? So we don't want to grieve that Spirit though. We want that Spirit to grow within us. And that's why it's important that we're constantly fighting our human nature and not allowing maybe the things our human nature wants to say or think about to come into mind, but like we see here, things that are useful and good for edification, that it may impart a blessing. Zephaniah 3 and verse 9 says, for then I will give a clear lip, or a pure speech to the people, to call all of them by the name of Yahweh, to serve him with one shoulder. So what a great scripture. Always loved that scripture. Matter of fact, like I said, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, 5 sophit, letters that change at the end of a word. And in that one little verse is all 27 of those letters in the Hebrew. You know, really amazing. And of course, the Hebrew we're seeing today, I don't believe is that pure language yet, but it's the start. Because we know Hebrew was given in the Garden of Eden. We know that Abraham spoke Hebrew. And we're getting back to that. It's going back to the origins, back to the original. And Yahweh will give a pure language to the people. So even if we're not speaking Hebrew, it doesn't mean we have to speak Hebrew. But whatever language we're speaking, there should be purity to our language. You know, there should be words of love, of edification, of uplifting. of glory and praise to Yahweh. And the last scripture is Proverbs 18:21 that says, death and life are in the hand of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. Again, talking about the fruits, I love that scripture. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. So again, we have, number one, we have the great responsibility before Yahweh as His children with His Spirit and Him dwelling in us to make sure that our speech is clean and that it's not violating any commandment. But I think, like I said, we're not looking just to do the minimum. We're not looking just not to violate. We should be thinking offensively of glorifying. And it's something that we want to actively be doing in our prayers and with each other in our studies, but really to be focusing on the purity of our language of, you know, like I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We were talking about this, so we want to make sure our heart is pure before Yahweh, because if our words are coming out and they're not pure, or our words are vindictive, or our words are angry, or our words are hateful, then there's got to be something in our heart that we need to go to Yahweh and ask for forgiveness and have that changed. Because like I said, with His Spirit, as the body comes together, as we see, one has a psalm, one has a hymn, and it should be for the uplifting and the building of the body of Messiah. So I don't know with the group here, we'll find out in a minute or two, but I know for probably many people that may hear this later, they probably didn't know a lot about euphemisms and some of the other things. And that's why whenever these kind of sermons are given, even the one I gave a few weeks ago where I mentioned some of the things with mixed clothing and makeup, I had a lot of letters of people thanking me. Because, again, you come out of the world and you don't know. So it's never meant to judge anybody. It's just meant that we're edifying each other and always trying to take one step more toward the glory of Yahweh. Yahweh bless.